Matthew, thanks for being here. It takes a lot of courage to get up here, and you don't know what I'm going to do or say. So, hey, we have something we're going to do before the service gets started. We're going to invite somebody up here.
Yes, we are.
Yes, sir. And what do you want to introduce to everybody? What her name is?
Miss Kristen, could you come up, please?
There you go. So I'm going to give Kirsten my mic, and you, Kirsten, why don't you stand right here? Because we're going to be talking to the camera right there.
Hey, Matthew.
Hello.
Good to see you this morning.
So what do you do?
What do I do? So I'm the kids ministry director here at Discovery. And if you didn't know, Matthew is one of our amazing volunteers. He helps out in toddler class.
Really fun. I encourage you to do it.
Yeah. So good.
Did you guys work that out? Because that was perfect. No.
We're just good that way, right, Matthew? So kids, disco kids. So Matthew not only volunteers, but you also are part of our kids' classes too.
Yeah.
And I was thinking that we could give these guys a little inside peek to kind of the core values of our class time together. So in kids' class, you guys might not know this unless you volunteer in there, if your kids shared with you about this.
Yeah.
But we have some core values. And those core values are, it's an acronym, and it spells praise.
Yes.
The first one is P. You want to help me out with this?
Yeah, put Jesus in the center.
Put Jesus in the center. So we hope to complement the way that our families are discipling their kids at home by being in the Word on Sundays and learning together in community. So putting Jesus in the center. R, do you remember that one?
Responsible?
Close.
Respectful?
Respectful and kind. So we're respectful and kind to each other. A, remember
ask
that one?
Questions.
Ask questions and stay curious. So we know that no one knows all the answers.
Yeah.
And so we want to be curious our whole lives about who Jesus is and about the Lord.
Yeah.
Okay. And I?
Invitational.
We want to be invitational. We want to invite friends, families, neighbors to come be in community with us to learn about Jesus.
Yeah.
And then the last one that's also, not the last one, S.
S.
Do you know what
safe?
S is? Safe. So we want to make sure that those environments, those environments that our kids are in are safe and that we take all the steps needed to make sure we're caring well for those spaces.
Yeah.
And then the last is E. What is E? Do you remember that one?
Expect to have fun.
That's right. So we have fun in class. We want to have fun while we're doing it. So so that's a little bit about like what we do in class together, and we're in the Word learning. And then did you have one more question? Are you going to ask me one more question?
What do you do in kids ministry? What's coming up?
So summer, guys. Summer is coming up. Are we excited about summer? Yeah, we are. So there'll be some opportunities to step up and maybe help give our kids, our regular kids volunteers throughout the year a break. And it's a shorter time commitment, and you can do a little test run with us if you'd like. But also, we have something exciting coming up that we'll give you more details up the next week or so. But we're bringing back sports camp. So we used to do sports camp, and sports camp is coming back this summer at Mary Lyon Elementary in this community that we serve.
I remember doing that before COVID.
Right?
Really fun.
Wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
And we're excited to do it again.
Yeah.
So thank you for having me.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Kirsten. Okay, everybody, so some of you are walking in. It's okay. We do a little pre-service plug. We do this every week about, 5, 6, 7 minutes before service starts, we get started. So this is my friend Matthew. You're going to hear from him again in a couple minutes. And so what we do during this time is we talk about some cool things that are going on that we don't have time to talk about throughout the service. So we got some really neat things coming up. We got today's a family service.
Yes, it is.
And it's going to be, so we got kids involved in the service today.
Yeah.
We even got some people behind us. They're all ready to go.
Yeah.
You guys ready? Yes. And so one of the things about family service, we'll talk about a little bit more as we progress, but there's some things that we really want. We want your family to be fully engaged today, help your kids have a great time of worship. A couple things that you can do or be aware of. Excuse me. We'll talk about that first. 2 weeks. Do you know what is happening 2 weeks from today?
Mother's Day.
Yes, and Mother's Day should not be missed. So make sure we have something really good for Mother's Day planned. And we're going to do some fun things here on Mother's Day for moms. Yeah. So make sure you come. And then on the, let's see, what's the next date that's coming up? Oh, June 11th, we're going to be having Grad Sunday. Some of you have some people graduating. Come on Grad Sunday, June 11th. We're going to celebrate some people who are going to, they're getting bigger. They're moving on to bigger and better things, right, Anna? Yes! Okay. So, and then on June 18th, probably more important than Mother's Day.
Father's Day.
Yeah, thank you, Matthew. Yeah. That's coming up. And so, anyway, we'll talk about some more things coming up. And these guys back here are ready to lead us. You guys ready to lead us in worship? Okay, so Matthew and I, we're gonna leave the stage.
All right.
And we're going to let you guys do your thing, all right?
All right.
So let's hand over our mics here because I think they need them.
Good morning, everyone. So we have some new faces on stage today. This is Noah, Juno's daughter. Juno and John, I guess she's John's too. Do you want to say your name?
What's your name? I'm Layla.
Layla.
And I'm Isaiah.
And these are my kids, and I brought them. And they are up here, and they're a little nervous, but they're really excited, especially this guy is really excited. So we're going to worship together. Hopefully the kids know some of these songs, and especially the next one. I know a lot of the kids know that one. If you guys want to stand and join us, we are going to worship together. We hope to hear your kids' voices.
Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. When everything around me is shaken, I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus. Never let me down.
won't. He won't.
So thank you guys, that was awesome. Give a round for that worship team. So good. Hey, have a seat, take a load off. This is, I'm John Fredericks, I'm the lead pastor, and this is, tell him.
Matthew.
This Hello. Is Matthew. Today he's a senior pastor. So Matthew, tell them a little bit about yourself.
My mom is Venezuelan and my dad is Puerto Rican. So I'm Hispanic.
Very, very cool. Very good. So Matthew's come to help today. Today is a family service, and so we do that, I don't know, like every couple of months?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're not always in here. What's one of the things that you do on Sunday mornings on the reg?
I sometimes serve in the kids' ministry or go down to the kids' class.
Yeah, did you hear that? He serves in kids' ministry. Right here, you're looking at a young and incredible leader. And so Matthew, just really blessed to have him here with us. So anyway, a couple of things. Matthew's going to pray for us in a moment, but a couple of things that you should be aware of. Number one, when you came in, you got a worship folder. And would you hold it up? Just wave it around a little bit. I want to make sure you got one. Okay, inside the worship folder is some stuff. In particular, there's a little card. Do you have it with you?
Called Connection Card.
Yeah.
I encourage you to fill these out. To get prayers and stuff.
Prayers and stuff. And then when? How'd they turn them in? Do you know? We didn't really practice that, did we? What do you think we should do? Just throw it out there. I mean, maybe we've got a better idea.
Probably go back, turn it back to the table.
Yeah, you could turn back to the table if you want. You could drop it in. There's a little thing right there. So Sarah's holding up connection cards. You can also drop it in an offering basket as they go by, and those are going to be at the very end of the service. Another thing to be aware of, today we're going to be sharing communion together. We're going to be doing that at the end of the teaching time. So if you didn't get a communion cup and wafer, you're going to want to do that. Sarah, again, is holding some. You're more than welcome during our worship time to go grab one. Here's some things for your kids. Okay, this is what you should be aware of. If you know that your child has asked Jesus into their life, this might be the very first opportunity for you to share communion with them. And I want to encourage you as a parent to navigate and walk that experience through with them. If your child has not yet asked Jesus into their heart, still walk through it with them. Now, don't ask them to participate, but tell them a little bit about what it is and what it means and what it means to you. Involve them in the process. We want this, in this service on Family Sunday, we don't want your kids to be observers. We want your kids to be full participants in worship today. They are, God's doing something amazing in their lives, and I want you to make sure you include them. So anyway, that's it. I don't want to talk about it much more. We have a couple people going to talk in a minute, and before they do, do you want to lead us in prayer?
Sure.
Let's do it.
Thank you, Lord, for this awesome day that we will have today. Thank you for the teams and everything. Thank you for letting us come and serve in your name. Everywhere we say, amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, so Matthew and I are going to slip off, but Tracy and Riley are going to share with you one brief thing that you should be aware of and you're getting ready for.
I like that haircut.
Thank you.
Man, you look sharp. Hi.
Hello.
I'm Tracy, and
I'm
you
Riley.
Are?
I'm Riley. Hello, everyone.
Oh, your hair looks good, too. Wow. Okay. Who caught that? Who was yelling at him? Yeah. Okay, let's do that again. I'm Tracy.
And I'm Riley.
Yes. We want everyone to take your phone out right now. If you have a phone, can you just take it out? I know you have a phone, Katie. Take it out. Open up your calendar. And who has a lot of fun stuff already for the summer months on their calendar? Anybody? Oh, you do? Your calendar's filling up? That's great, this young man. And so what I want you to do is go to July and mark a date, because we have a pretty important date coming up, don't we?
Yes, we do.
What's the date, Riley?
It's July 14th,
Good
Tracy.
Good job. July 14th, Discovery's having a talent showcase and dinner for for an amazing cause and family that you guys are going to hear a little bit more about later in the service. But our job at this particular talent show...
Yep, Brad, are you ready? We're going to put the fun in fundraiser.
There you go. That's our job. So today, at the end of service, I want you to come and see Riley and I at the table right when you exit through this door if you would like to participate in this talent showcase, because we can't do it without you guys. We need you to put the, what was it?
Well, disco fun and fundraiser.
Yeah, and what do we...
but also, it's because Disco's Got Talent.
Disco's Got Talent. Say it with us.
Disco's Got Talent.
That's right. So let's see. For example, if you, you know, need to dust off your trumpet, would a trumpet solo work, Riley?
Yeah, definitely.
A trumpet solo. Sure. How about some tap dancing?
Yeah.
A fashion show, if someone, you know, creates their own
look? Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about if someone would like to sing a solo?
Absolutely, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
What if a family wanted to put on a little parody? Would that work?
Absolutely.
Recite a poem?
Yes.
What about if they wanted to learn the Napoleon Dynamite dance? Do that with a friend.
Triple yes.
That's what I'm saying. See, you guys, get the wheels turning. We want to see your talent so we can put the fun in fundraiser. Again, you're going to hear more about the amazing family and the cause later in the service. But if you have a talent that you want to bring, please come and see us. There's going to be an audition later this month.
Yep.
What if someone really wants to participate in this talent showcase, but they don't have like a solo or ensemble act?
Well, we have a few options. One is we're going to be putting together a show choir. So if you want to sing and be a part of a number.
Okay, stop. When you say show choir, I'm like, you know.
Gospel choir,
no,
I guess.
Just, you're just going to stand there and sing.
We're going to sing.
You might break out jazz hands.
We're going to sing together
okay,
and
so
have fun.
A choir or what else?
Or you can also, there's going to be lots of opportunities backstage.
Absolutely.
So there's going to be a place for you no matter what.
That's right. So come and see us after the service. We're going to get back to worship. So everybody, please stand with us. Thanks, Riley. Let's
Thank
put
you.
The fun in fundraiser.
Woo.
That's it.
Show your parents the motions.
And do it.
You know, Father God, I thank you so much for these beautiful voices. I thank you for the motions, the hands, the just the willingness to be here to worship you, God. I know it's not the most comfortable thing to stand on a stage or even to sing in a congregation and sing, Lord. But you are a good God. And I just thank you for my kids who get to be here with me. God, I pray that our voices would honor you. I thank you for every person in this room that is part of my family. God, because this is a family Sunday, and even if we're apart from our family right now or we're just feeling alone, God, remind us that we are in this room as a family together. And we worship you, God, and we thank you for your goodness. We will sing of your goodness. You are good and holy and amazing, in Jesus' name.
I say one more time, I don't mean the last time.
when you walked in this morning, I'm confident if you're like me that there are things that you're carrying with you. They may not be in your hands, but they likely are on your heart. And they're likely weighing heavy on your mind and in your thoughts. And if you're like a lot of us in this room, those things that you carry, it causes you sometimes to question the goodness of God. So let's just take a moment and bring those things that we carry before the Father. If you need to symbolically put them in your hands and open your hands like this, you can do that. Our Father, there are things that fill our minds and our hearts and our days. They're heavy. This morning we bring them and we're not going to hide from them. We're not going to pretend that they don't exist. We're going to bring them to you. So this morning I'm symbolically laying them in my hands. And I'm opening my hands because I want to release them into yours. I've been tempted this week. I've been tempted maybe for a season, maybe a long time, maybe so long that I don't remember what it was like before, but I've been tempted to doubt your goodness and that your goodness can be seen and experienced through this stuff that's in my hands. And I'm asking today, Jesus, that you take these things. Whatever I need to walk through, I pray that your goodness would be seen through this life, through these question marks, through these scars, through these questions. I pray that your goodness would be seen and evident to everybody around me. I place them in your hands. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Isn't it fun to have the kids in the service? It was like a not sure applause to begin with. I know how that goes. Some of there's moms in here are like, ah. Hey, listen here, you got permission. I'm just going to give you permission right now. Your kids get to be kids, all right? And kids, we're glad that you're here. And we want to encourage you to do some things. We want to encourage you to take some notes. That's what the adults have to do in here. We take notes. So your notes, they can be with colors. Take notes with colors if you want, you know. we believe very much that God is doing something amazing in you. And we are glad that you get to have some special environments nearly every week where you worship in ways that connect with you. But we are really honored that you're here this morning. And so moms and dads, we just want you to breathe easy too, okay? Deal? Deal? Ain't no judgment going on, okay? Deal? All right. So everybody, I want you to make sure you have a Bible handy, something to take some notes with. We're going to be in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7 today. And by the way, wasn't the last 3 days great? Weren't the last 3 days great? There's the grammar part that always catches me. So weren't they awesome? They were so fantastic. I mean, like a Thursday, Friday, and then Saturday was so good. And guess what? I opened up my phone this morning. It's over. Did you guys do that? Did you look at your phone? On my phone, there's like lightning stuff coming in the week. It's like, hey, it's like, just kidding. And so, oh my gosh, I hope you enjoyed it. So hope your Saturday was great. Anybody here love Saturdays? Yeah, I want to be honest. I'm kind of like this, the Saturdays. So I've got this history with Saturday where I love it and I hate it at the same time. And I'll tell you about my Saturdays. Nearly my entire life, at least my entire married life, we look so forward to Saturday. Like, we pack everything into Saturday. Anybody? Anybody do this? Like, you want to rest, you want to connect, and you want to get stuff done. Anybody? And you want to do all those, and every Saturday it starts with so much hope and anticipation, joy, there's levity and laughter, and by the end of Saturday, it's usually a train wreck. So, and one of the things that causes a train wreck in our house is this, is that we will start connecting. We've needed to connect all week, and we're talking and sharing stories that we've been wanting to share. And then halfway through the story, you're like, hey, I'm still with you, but I got to go over here for a minute. You guys ever do that? You ever say, hey, keep sharing. I'm just going to go into the other room, but I'm still with you. Anybody ever do that? Nobody? Okay, thank you. Thank you so much, Geneva. So she's the only one. So me and Geneva. So yeah, I go like, hey, you know, I'm going to start doing stuff, and we want to connect at the same time. And so we'll just go to other rooms, and we're doing different things, but we're doing it together. And we're still sharing, just louder now. We're like telling stories louder. And occasionally, even if you're not totally listening, what do? Yeah, you say, uh-huh. Like every once in a while, you're in the middle of stuff, you're like, oh, I haven't said uh-huh in a while. I'm like, uh-huh, right? And then you start sharing, and it doesn't even matter. Occasionally, she yells, uh-huh. And it goes fine for a while until I ask Tracy a question. So I'll be in some part of the house, and I'll ask a question. And then there's silence, right? And if I wait long enough, there'll be a, uh-huh. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. So then I'll ask the question louder, right? And I'll say, hey, Tracy, and I'll say it louder with a little more emphasis, right? And still nothing. And then I'll ask it a third time, and this time there's a bit of an edge in my voice, right? And listen, we've been married a long time, and I have no evidence for this. There's nothing in our history that shows this. But when that happens, when I've asked a question 2, 3, or 4 times and there's nothing, my mind always goes to the same place. Now, it never goes to like, man, she just must really be doing something important right now. It never goes to the place of like, I hope she's okay. You know where my mind goes every time, like the third time that I ask a question, there's no response? It goes, why is she ignoring me? Anybody? Like, it just, there's just something happens inside, like, and you start shaking a little bit. And it doesn't, like, all these things I was doing were so important that I couldn't stay with her and connect. But all of a sudden, now I'll leave whatever I was doing, and I'll go on this search. And while I'm searching for her, my temperature's rising, you know, the hair on the back of my neck is standing up, and I'm thinking of all the things I'm going to tell her. I'm not curious at all, but there's going to be like this inquisitive, like this moment, this inquisition is going to happen. So I walk in the room, and I'll see her. Maybe she has headphones on, right? Or maybe she's vacuuming something, and I'll unplug the vacuum, and I'll like, hey, why are you ignoring me? Do you know who I am? So now you know our Saturdays. This is how Saturdays go. So anybody, you're seeing how this, right? You're seeing the train wreck start to happen, right? And there's something inside the human experience that we want, maybe want's the wrong word. We desperately need to be seen, heard, and validated, particularly the people closest to us. And if we're not seen or heard, things go poorly very quickly. Amen? It's just like you cannot separate that from the human soul. We need to be seen and heard. Now, we're going through a series that's called Between Two Worlds. It's a 4-week walk through Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7 is this fantastic chapter where Luke packs it full of these encounters that Jesus has with people who are struggling on the outside of faith looking in. And they're all different. Every one of these situations is a little bit different, but they're all really people who are struggling with their faith. They're struggling with life and the interaction of God with their life. And we're going to pick up today in Luke chapter 7, verse 11, and I want you to read along with me, okay? So it says in verse 11, soon afterward. Now, this is alluding to Jesus just left this time with the centurion, where this incredible miracle took place. This guy was healed, and Jesus gave great affirmation to the centurion for his faith. Just after this cool moment happens, it says, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. And as he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother. She was a widow, and a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry." Then he went up and touched the bier that they were carrying him on, and the bearers stood still. He said to the corpse, "Young man, I say to you, get up." And the dead man sat up, and he began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mama. They were all filled with awe and praised God. They said, "A great prophet has appeared among us. God has come to help his people." And this news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. Okay, so Luke tells us that Jesus leaves this fantastic moment and he walks to this insignificant town. I mean, it's so insignificant that today people struggle to know where it was exactly. They struggle to know exactly what the place is and where it is. It wasn't a significant place. And he's walking to this insignificant place. And as he's walking in this insignificant town, he encounters a parade of sorts. It's this large group of people. They're making their way out of this town. And it's populated by a bunch of relatives and a bunch of hired mourners. So believe it or not, in Jesus' day, when someone was lost and they were going to put on a funeral, they would hire people to be sad. They would hire people to grieve and walk along. So Jesus encounters this parade of sorts of people. And Luke tells us that in the middle of this parade is a bier. What it means is some device that they're carrying a corpse on, a dead body. And they're carrying this dead body, and just behind or around this dead body is a lady. She has no name. She's a nameless person. By all accounts, she seems insignificant. Luke tells us about her. The one thing that's super significant that we should all know, Luke says, is that this is not her first parade. She's been here before. Luke doesn't tell us when or how long ago, but Luke tells us there was a time that this lady was walking through the same situation. This time it was her husband. Her husband had died, and they walked through all this, and when she was walking through that moment, it wasn't just that she lost her husband, she was walking around with a little boy. She is now a widow, and she's responsible for now being a single mom in a day and a time and a culture in which being a single mom was nearly an impossible task. If anybody had ever experienced the silence of heaven, it was this woman. And here she is again. We don't know exactly the events. Maybe it was a long sickness in which she prayed over, or maybe it was an unexpected tragic accident. But here she's walking again, now not only grieving the loss of someone that she loved, but now an uncertain future is before her, and heaven has been silent. One of the things we've been talking about between two worlds is we've been talking about how to navigate deconstruction. And many of us in this room, we've heard of, or some of us in the room are navigating a deconstruction ourselves. This is a moment in life where you're wrestling and questioning, Is God real? Is he here? Can I have a real faith in light of my circumstances? One of the things that fuels deconstruction in our lives is a God or heaven that doesn't hear, see, or act when he should. So when we hear this story, the first part, if you're in this place of question, you're like, "Man, I get this. I've been there. I'm kind of there now." And the second half of the story, while for some can be really encouraging. Wow, Jesus came up and he just spoke to this young man who was dead and he sat up and wow, the whole crowd was excited. But if I'm in that place where I'm questioning God's existence and his presence, his compassion, a story like this is really, really hard. Like, why this nameless lady in this nameless town with this nameless young man, and why not me? Why not a person who has a name, a person that has a significant future and a person who thinks all of these circumstances, God, if you would just step in and act, would make such a difference in the world. Why won't you act? And what is the secret sauce to get God to wake up and show up? Maybe you never said it like that, but I bet that you've thought sometimes, like, what do I have to do to get God to see me and to do something? For the next couple of minutes, I want to talk about this kind of raw question. I want to talk about, what do we do when we're in a place like that? What do I do to get God to see me and to show up and to do something in this situation, this circumstance, in my very real problem? Now, I want to encourage you to take some notes. And the very first thing I want you to write down is the word nothing. I'll say it again. Like, what can you do to wake God up, to get him to see you and to show up and act? I want you to write down somewhere on your page or in your phone, absolutely nothing. And the reason is, number one, that you and I cannot awaken God to compassion. We cannot awaken God to compassion because we cannot awaken what is not asleep. We cannot awaken what is not asleep. The psalmist writes in Psalm 107, verse 1, give thanks to the Lord, for he is... Can you guys say it with me? Let's read it all out loud, all of us together. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. The psalmist says, this is the character of God, the unchanging character of God. James, in James chapter 1, James says this. He says, all good and perfect and wonderful gifts come from heaven above, from a God who does not change like the shifting sands. The psalmist and James agree with this. God is good, has always been good, and always will be good. Endures forever. That means God was good then, 2,000 years ago, in this moment that Luke's recording. It means that God is good 2,000 years from now. And it means whether you and I see it or feel it at this very moment, God is, he's good. He's good, Mercedes? He's good all the time. I love this in Luke 7. Jesus is walking up to this insignificant place, this insignificant city, this unnamed woman, this unnamed man, and it says, when the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, don't cry. Why is this significant? Long before she saw Jesus, long before she engaged with Jesus, long before she had any conversation with Jesus, Jesus saw her. His heart ached for this mama. His heart ached. Do you know that not only is God good, but watch this, and you should write this down. God longs for goodness for you. 1 Timothy chapter 6, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant nor put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our, what's that last word? Everybody? That's amazing. Do you know that God's heartbeat for you is good? He aches when you ache. He longs for goodness. In John chapter 10, Jesus says, the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. Jesus says, I came that you might have, everybody, a little bit louder. I came that you might have life, and not just life like you're going to eke out existence. He goes on, he explains, life and what? Have it to the? God longs for goodness for you. Now, it's true that we live in a world that's full of pain. Paul writes about this in Romans 8. He says that this whole world, it's like in the middle of birth pangs. It's the worst kinds of pain in this world. That's what's happening. And this world feels sometimes very, very painful. So painful that we can forget the goodness of God. You can get so wrapped up in the moment, you can forget that God is here, he sees, he's compassionate. The psalmist says, I like this, we're going to go back to the Psalms, Psalm chapter 27. Look at this. The psalmist says, I remain confident in this. Okay, before we read any more, let's hear what he's saying. I'm going to put a stake in the ground. I'm going to put an anchor off the edge of the boat. And I don't care what kind of storm comes. I don't care what kind of difficulty comes my way. I am going to hold on to what is true about God. I remain confident of this, that I am going to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Verse 14. Now wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. The psalmist says, I'm going to hold on to the goodness of God because God's character never changes. Amen? What do I do to awaken God to my situation? Absolutely nothing, because he sees you right now. Amen? Put an anchor in the ground. Put a stake in the ground, throw an anchor off the boat, do whatever it takes. That there may be a storm raging right now, but the goodness of God is not affected by the storm around us. Amen? Amen. The second thing, I can not only not awaken God's compassion, but I cannot awaken God to action. The response of the people in Luke 7 is so telling. In Luke 7, after the miracle takes place, did you see this? They said, man, a prophet has shown up. And then here's the words they say in Luke 7. They say this, God has come to help his people. This is their perspective. God's been on vacation, friends. God's been on a long trip. God took a supernaturally long nap. And good news, God is finally up. He's had a cup of coffee, Sarah. He is ready to get some stuff done. This is their perspective, that God has not been doing anything. All of a sudden, God showed up. And you know what? This is sometimes our perspective, too. Now, speaking of Saturdays, sometimes midweeks are hard too at my house. And by the way, you're going to see they're usually hard because of stuff I do. So, amen. Did you say yeah, Jason?
No, that was
Bobby. That was Bobby. Thank you, Bobby. So, I don't know if you guys are like this, but sometimes, you know, it's been a long day. You've been dealing with all sorts of stuff. And you get in your car, and you go home, and you're so tired, you're not really ready to do the number one job. By the way, the number one job is coming home and leading and loving and serving in your house. That's number one, right? But sometimes, you know what, you're just fed up with people, you don't want to see people, you don't want to talk to people, and you just walk inside, and you're like, that's it, I've had enough, right? And then my wife will see something, and she'll say, hey, how are you? And I'll say, you guys know what I say? Fine. I'm fine. She's like, huh. A little later, she sees me grousing, kicking things. How are you? And I'm like, I'm fine. And I'm like, Maybe the third time she'll say, no, really, John, you don't seem fine. I am totally fine. You know what? I got all this stuff to do. I did A, B, and C, and somebody around here has got to do some work. That never goes well. You know why? Because in the truth, in our family, just like in yours, everybody's working. You know, the truth is my wife works harder than I work most days, okay? We can't even, I can't even really get in some sort of like competition with her. She works so hard. But you know what? When I've had a hard day, when things have been difficult, something happens inside my mind that I think, nobody on the planet is working as hard as me. Anybody? You know, like they don't work. In fact, you can't find good work anymore. If anything's going to be done, I've got to do it. Anybody? Like, we get in that mindset that ain't nobody working, and we get in that mindset with God. Like, How come God's not doing anything? I'm working this thing. I'm worrying about this thing. I'm doing pros and cons. I got lists and I got plans. I'm doing all this stuff. And how come God isn't showing up? Look what Jesus says in John chapter 5. Jesus says, "My Father is always at work. And by the way, I too am working." God is not asleep and unaware, and he is also not inconveniently busy with something else. Right now, he is working in your life and world. Romans chapter 8, verse 28, you guys know this. Maybe this was on a plaque somewhere in your house growing up. Paul writes this, he says, "And we know that in all things," what kind of things? The good things? Yeah. The bad things? Yeah. The things that you messed up? All things. Mercedes still with me. All things, right? "We know that in all things God works. God works for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his purpose." In John chapter 13, Jesus said something really important. He said this to his disciples, but I think it really relates to you and I today. He says, "You do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand." So you and I cannot awaken God to action. He is moving right now. Maybe you and I don't see it. Jesus says there will be a day you will look back and you'll see the hand of God all over this moment. Some of us in this room, you've seen that. Amen? Some of you, you look back on the worst moments in your life and you're like, "Man, I wouldn't have scripted it this way, but I'm so glad God did it." 1 Peter, I'm going to read this to you. This is about suffering and trials and difficulties, those moments where you think God's not working. Peter writes this, he says, "In all this, you greatly rejoice. Though now for a little while you've had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials." Verse 7, he says, "These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, which is of greater worth than gold." By the way, gold that perishes even though refined by fire. God is doing this so that your faith may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you haven't seen him, you love him, and even though you don't see him now, you believe in him, and you're filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you're receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. God is doing something in you right now. And it's painful, it's difficult, it's testing every part of you. But let us not be fooled here. You cannot awaken God to action because he is already acting right now on your behalf. Amen? So what does God want for you and what of me? Here's the third thing that we learn from Luke, this moment. He's inviting me to trust him, to make a decision to trust him. With joyful surrender, to surrender to him. And I'm struck in this story by a person that has no voice, but has to surrender to Jesus. Do you know who I'm talking about? Anybody want to take a guess? Has no voice, but has to surrender to Jesus. The guy being carried. Okay? So I'm just going to track here. Just track with me for a minute. Every day of my life, I am going to work so hard to have one more breath and have that one more breath be significant, purpose-filled, and honoring to Jesus. Like, I'm going to fight like crazy on this side of my last breath to have one more breath and have it be completely filled with Jesus' purpose and will for my life. Amen? Anybody? Amen. But the moment I have my last breath and I cross that threshold and I'm in glory, I ain't coming back. Anybody? Like, I already know that in that place, every tear is going to be dried, every pain is going to be gone, and I hope by God's grace to stand before my Father and Him say, well done, good and faithful servant. And I hope that we get to hang out in the presence of God for 10,000 years, right? Like, I'm looking so forward to that moment. When I get across that line, please don't call me back. Anybody? So if there's one guy in this whole story that has no problems, it is that guy, right? And what does Jesus do? Welcome back to the problem. He's like, hey, you know what? Get up. And this, like, this is a supernatural thing, okay? But he surrenders completely to the will of Jesus and Jesus' voice. And what an incredible moment that is. You know what God is looking for you and I to do? On this side of that line, he's looking for us to surrender to him. All that anxiety that's welled up in your chest, you know, that tug that's trying to pull you into that dark pit again, God is wanting you to let go of that and just trust completely all of it into his hands. And there's nothing sweeter. I just want to read over you a few encouragements from Scripture about trusting, and then we're going to move into the Lord's Supper together. Psalm 118 says this, it is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in anybody else. Amen? Psalm 20 verse 7 says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Psalm 37:5 says, commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and then he will do this. Do not be anxious about anything, it says in Philippians 4. But in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I find this story in Luke 7 so amazing. Because Jesus left this important place with this important person, the centurion, who had such authority and influence. And he walked to an unimportant location, little village. He saw a nameless young man carried on a stretcher, and a nameless insignificant woman. And before anyone could ask or demand or explain, his heart just broke with compassion. And he carried on acting in the way that God always acts, for the glory of God in the lives of regular, everyday people. And he's still doing that today. Would you bow with me? A few moments ago, I shared that I think that Luke 7, the driving point of this encounter, is that God is calling and inviting you and I to surrender to the voice of Jesus. I think right now the voice of Jesus is asking some dead men and dead women spiritually to rise up. I think that you could be here this morning because he is again calling you to surrender to his voice. And when you do, you will experience real life. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that you might have life and have it to the full. How does that work? it works by just being honest to God. Right here in this moment, you could say, God, I think you've been getting my attention. While I've been grousing that you're asleep and far off and distant, I'm realizing that you've been here the entire time. And that maybe you're using this situation and circumstance to get me to rise up from my dead spiritual place. So today, Jesus, I'm asking you to come in. Save me and take these things for your glory. In Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. Hey, I didn't want to miss this. I just want to drive this home is that what we just did, that moment of prayer, don't gloss over that. That's what God's looking for. He's looking right now for the hearts of men and women who are completely open to Him. It's what He does. And today shouldn't be about just getting a religious check mark and making yourself a little bit better, feel better than you did yesterday. God is deeply and desperately trying to get your attention because He wants to come in. So let Him. And if you didn't pray with me because I prayed too fast or it didn't make sense, take some of your notes later today. Go for a walk before the rain comes. Go sit in the backyard and do some business with God because He deeply, desperately loves you. One of the things that Jesus people have been doing for 2,000 years is we've been celebrating, thanking God for the incredible privilege that regular, everyday, no-name people like us can be called children of God. And that happens because of what Jesus did on the cross in the empty grave. And so for 2,000 years, many Christ followers have done this on a weekly basis where they've taken what's called communion or the Lord's Supper together. And it's a moment to remember that we don't make ourselves better. We don't make ourselves healthy, joy-filled, etc. God saves and redeems us through His work on the cross. So I want you to take out the elements for the Lord's Supper. And Sarah, if you wouldn't mind, would you come? Also, Sarah, would you bring me one? Because I don't have one here. Or maybe I'll get one. Riley's got one for me. Never mind. If you don't have one, just raise your hand and we'll make sure that you have one. And the first thing that I'm going to have you do is very carefully peel back there's two layers here. And I want you to peel back the very top one. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul writes about remembering the Lord's Supper. And he says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night He's betrayed, He took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke the bread and He said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" So I want to encourage you to take that wafer out. Jesus, you are not a distant, far-off God. For this whole incredible, miraculous act of you coming was the pure act of a supernatural, eternal God taking on human flesh, being real, and then letting your life be broken for us. And we are so grateful, Jesus, that you came evidence heaven. Thank you. Take and eat. Paul writes, in the same way, after supper, he took the cup. He said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. I want you to take the cup. This cup represents the blood of Jesus that was spilled on the cross for you. Thank you, Jesus, for not only coming to show evidence of heaven, to give real tangible evidence of the truth of God's character, but you spilled your life to pay the full penalty of every one of our sins. Thank you, Jesus. Take and drink. And I'd like to invite you to join us in a song of worship. And when the song is over, I'm going to come back up, and we have a couple important things still to do in our service.
For all that you've done, we will pour out.
Father, we walked into this place this morning with some things that perhaps have not gone away, but we hope that we have placed them in the right hands. I have no easy words for big challenges that we face, but I know, Jesus, that these challenges, these things need to be in your hands, for your hands are good and kind, and you are working good right now. We trust you with these things. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated for just another couple of moments. If you've joined us with live stream, we want to thank you for joining us with live stream. You're going to see some directions to go to a link, and we'd like to encourage you to follow that, and as you can hear more about some really cool things to come. And thank you again for joining us on live stream. Everyone here, we're going to do something kind of special in the room today. We're going to be talking about... No longer.